All right, welcome to Comes Naturally Podcast. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody, and our special guest today is
Taj.
All right, so on today's episode, we are going to be doing franchising. This time around, we're going to pick movies we want to see sequels made for. Now, the rules of this are it can be a direct sequel. So, for example, Ghostbusters 3 would be a direct sequel. It can be a sequel to something you want to have made that already has sequels. Like I said, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, then 3. It can be a replacement sequel. So, for example, my personal choice, not what I'm bringing up today, but I'm one to use an example, is Indiana Jones. Three terrific movies, then that turd bomb that came out. So we would replace Crystal Skull.
Turd bombs are pretty good.
Yeah. Like, so Indiana Jones and the turd bomb. We replace that and replace it with a fourth movie. What? No, it was. It had Shia LaBeouf in it and the giant ants and the turd skull,
the
right?
Turd bomb?
Yeah, the turd bomb.
Did Shia LaBeouf steal that role from somebody else?
He probably did. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird how he does that a lot. Yeah.
Just didn't credit anybody else.
Yeah,
for
it was Tarzan. Remember we
you get it? Because he steals shit and tries to play it off as his own.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anyways.
No, I didn't get that.
So that is our plan for today in this episode of franchising. Today we will start with our special guest, Taj. So, Taj, go ahead and pick your first one.
That would be me, right?
Yes.
All right.
The other one named Taj?
There's someone else named Taj?
Sometimes. Go. Your turn. Go.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, that was gonna be Cody's.
Bring it.
Oh,
like a boss. Oh, guess who wasn't here?
Oh, that's why you're always fucking late.
Hey, look, I'm right on fucking time.
Well, I have enough time to think of another
one.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
What's the name of the second book?
Restaurant at the End of the Universe. What, are you giving me the fucking look?
That's a good place to stop before you leave. Because it's
going
to
be
the
universe,
by the way,
right,
they did allude to it at the end of the first movie. So, I mean, it's not like
then,
it wasn't lying.
But then an interview with or a sit-down lunch or dinner, something Martin Freeman had with Garth Edwards, the director, it said it didn't do well enough to deserve a sequel.
Didn't do well enough?
Yeah, well, it's because it wasn't popular, because it was kind of a critical failure, because the fact that it's a sci-fi movie, one thing, and people...
Deaf.
And
What's wrong with Most Def?
No, no, no.
He's
like
fucking amazing.
Yeah, but he was awesome as Ford Prefect.
But I like Most Def, but if you look at any of his movies that he's done, I don't think other people
name
like
three.
Him. Name three. 16 Blocks.
Does he even get...
Italian Job.
He was an Italian Job?
Yeah, he
was. That movie was awful.
Yeah, see?
God.
And, fucking whatever.
I like Most Def's character in Italian Job, for sure.
It was
funny.
It was Left Ear, Right Ear,
left
Right
ear.
Eye, or TLC, or something.
Yeah, he played Lisa Left Eye Lopez in
the
remake of.
Talking about waterfalls for some reason. I was like, "What the fuck does this movie have to do with anything?"
And mentions that he doesn't want to deal with no scrubs.
And then Marky Marks is sitting in the background singing and working out.
He's bringing in the harmony. Yep. That's how it's done.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Maybe I do want a sequel to that now.
That's good stuff.
I disagree.
So now that you've stolen my
welcome,
my first one,
again.
Asshole, definitely not going to – that's just messed up. So anyways, what would you like to see done with it? Would you like to go further down to the other books, or you would like to see –
Absolutely. I mean, the books in and of themselves are very popular in, you know, the reader's world, for sure. Sci-fi world, definitely. What the fuck is so funny? I can't take it anymore. Anyways.
Doesn't matter. Go
it's
ahead.
Mike. He's cracking himself up.
Mike is behind the scenes. Mike is tucking himself into his shirt like a 5-year-old child trying to hide. They can't find me. Anyways, so go on. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sequel. You would like to see?
Absolutely. I mean, every character comes back. I definitely want to see more Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Yep.
Because I like just about everything that Sam Rockwell does. I mean, he's really amazing.
Yeah.
Except for in the fucking what's the Charlie's Angel movie?
Okay.
First off, none of us have seen those movies. So
yeah, you're right. I've seen them.
I've had
plenty
they
of
have ladies in them.
I've had girlfriends as
yes,
well.
Yes, girlfriends.
Girlfriends on the
whatever,
screen.
Whatever. Look, lefty and righty. Whatever.
Pretty sure he just admitted to something I don't want to talk about. Oh, you dated twins, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, buddy. Go ahead.
Anyways,
were they conjoined?
Only at the wrist.
This is not about his hands.
It's worse than anything announce
this is my favorite podcast so far. This is the best one.
Oh, it comes naturally.
I don't
after
know.
After you're using your hands. So anyways, yes, that would be amazing. I would have picked that one. Now I picked a different one on the way there. We have plenty of time. So any more you want to add about your choice of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, God. I'm
how many books were there distracted? To it?
Four?
Technically four, yeah. Technically there's a fifth books. One that was like a short story, but yeah.
And apparently there was rumors of a sixth to be written.
Yes.
And never it's kind of been about. Tabled.
Yeah.
But, so you would continue there's on a just lot. Make yeah, book, just, book or
why not? I mean, every other series that's been made into a movie has pretty much gone down that I same mean, line. I don't see anything wrong with it. There's
yeah. I mean,
tons
the, of in the first movie book, it's pretty fucking crazy. I mean, they yeah. like building planets and things like that, the donut shaped planets and the square ones. Nuts. Not even a tip of the fucking iceberg compared to the other books. The other books, like you go to the planet where the Hitchhiker's Guide was made, and that fucking building itself is a transdimensional building, so it's on every single planet that publishes the book. So when you go through an elevator, elevators go in every direction, and you can go to another building. It's fucking crazy. Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of details from the first book that they left out for reasons, yeah. because it would have been huge. I mean, granted, their budget was pretty crazy, and they did a really good job with the budget they had, but
ultimately, it would have taken you off in so many different areas. You would have been lost in the movie, and the movie would have been 6 hours long.
So they kept it kind of on focus, but it would have been interesting to see where they could have gone with that, because especially with the following books, it delves more into the romantic aspect of those people and the fact that there's a kid involved and spoiler alert and all sorts of fun stuff like that too. Because the book has a whole different way of going. Because it doesn't matter.
Well, it's not centered around. Yep.
It's not about not just them. It's it kind of has their friends and stuff too. And dolphins never return to Earth and all that fun stuff like that. So.
Lots of information. They awesome. Could even honestly just do a second movie based off of the rest of the information in the first book.
Yeah.
Which would be as equally awesome as the first movie, and I'd watch it 1,700 times like I've watched, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide.
I've actually wore out the Blu-ray, the first one I owned.
You could do that?
Yeah. Someone didn't have to watch
DVDs,
that
you could. I've never worn out a Blu-ray, though.
Yep. Broke that shit, yo.
And proud.
Yep. Saw that thing like 5 times in the theater. Awesome. I love that movie.
It's such a great movie.
Real quick, side note. What movie have you seen the most in theaters? Just real quick.
Star Wars Episode 1.
Really?
16 times.
Episode 1? Yep. That's surprising. Considering how much...
Was that Parkway Plaza in the movie theater that was there in El Cajon?
It did run forever.
But one of my best friends worked there, so he gave us tickets.
Nice. Josh?
I don't think you saw it in theaters.
I'll go last. I got to think about that.
Joseph.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a movie that that was really popular that we went and saw, like, you know, it was a couple of years ago. What was it? We saw it on the day it came out, and then, like, the next day.
Well, we saw Transformers.
With a bunch of different people. It might have been Transformers.
We literally saw Transformers every single day for a week straight.
It might have been Transformers.
The first Transformers, literally. Midnight showing, we saw it. The next morning, I saw it again with another friend. The next day after I got off work, I met Josh Rhodes, Paige, and someone else. I think Jeff Jimenez.
Name them. Dropper extraordinaire here.
Well, hopefully, you know. Yeah, yeah, shout out to
you. I love it. I'm playing it.
Fuck them. Then, yeah. Then, literally, so every day. And then after bowling that week, Dustin and I went and saw it again. Then that Thursday, we went and saw it after I got off work. Because one of my other friends that worked at Best Buy. And then, like, Friday we saw it. And then we saw it again on that Saturday.
Yeah, so it'd probably be a toss-up between that one, because I can't remember the number of times we saw it.
Ridiculous
that one.
Amount.
Or actually Indiana Jones 4. Because when it came out, I went to the midnight release of it with a bunch of friends. Then I went with it with you guys. And I went and saw it with my brother and my parents. Yeah, I mean...
You didn't pay for all the times you went and saw it, though, right?
Well, for myself, yes. Gross.
You supported that shit, huh?
I support Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I support Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
The one for me, I think the most I've ever been to one single movie was The Avengers. I think I saw that 6 times in theaters.
Yeah, I saw it a bunch, too, because I know...
Because I kept watching it in different formats.
We saw it... midnight.
Yeah.
We saw it. I know. Well, we saw it midnight. I saw it Friday morning with Matt and his girls. We saw it. Then later that day, we saw it in 3D again, like right after that. Then Sunday, we went and saw it. So that's these four times I know that I saw Avengers.
Yeah, I remember. Well, we did. I was with you on the midnight, yep. And then I was with you on the Sunday. And then as the, like, it became my go-to movie if I was just bored, if me and Jim were bored, or Jason was in town, or we were just doing whatever, we'd just go over and watch Avengers again and again and again.
Might as well.
But, and it was in theaters forever, too. So we,
oh, yeah. It did so well.
And it wasn't like we watched them all at once. Like, it was like five or six times over the span of.
So if Mike didn't
months.
Go to see it that many times,
it would have made 5 billion.
Yeah, it only would have made like $500 million.
You're welcome, Robert Downey Jr.
And the rest of the cast.
I'm pretty sure the check went to more than just him.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think.
Spice on the new kid. What was it, Taj?
Probably going to fall back to.
Belly? Baby boy. What a movie was that recent?
I hate you.
No. Okay. Probably the first Hobbit. I saw it three times. I'm not really big on going to a theater to see a movie more than once, generally.
The Hobbit Hobbit. Like
the Hobbit
ones?
Hobbit.
Not Lord of the Rings.
No.
Okay.
The Hobbit. So I saw that three times, and I really think that's probably it. I just, you know, see it once in the theater, then I wait till it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray, and then I watch it 1,000 times after that, but...
Great movie, but that's a lot of movie to sit through three times.
I do not care.
The part that kills me is that goddamn song they sing.
The Lonely Mountain?
God damn it, dude.
Yeah.
So fucking depressing. All right, so...
You're
welcome.
Right back on topic. So, Taj went, stole mine. Hitchhiker's Guide to the End of the Galaxy.
You still another one of yours? I can read your mine right now.
Go for it.
I got nothing.
Of course you don't. Your mine or mine?
Bong Hops.
No, mine is way too full.
Oh, shit.
Michael.
The first one I think of, and it's I guess kind of a cheat because they technically did like a spinoff or sequel or whatever the fuck it was, but I want to see a Zombieland sequel done correctly so bad.
Not the shitty TV show that was on Hulu.
That it was like a Hulu original, like only available online.
Hulu original piece of shit.
Awful. I never watched one of it because the previews for it were so bad that I was just like, there's no way. There's no way it's going to be worth a damn at all. I don't even know if it was actually those characters.
I don't think it was. They were different characters.
But the guy was really trying to pull off like a Tallahassee feel.
Wouldn't you try to?
So
everyone talked about that movie other than, you know, the fact that, spoilers, Bill Murray's in it as Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And then later as zombie Bill Murray.
But the movie was so light and so fun.
No, he was. Remember? Because he shot him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't really a zombie.
Well, he died and came back as a zombie.
At the end of the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Sorry. Yeah. So you don't even need a lot of important elements from the first one. The biggest thing you need, if you brought back all the cast, that would be cool, but I wouldn't really give a fuck. You just need Woody Harrelson as Tallahassee. He needs to be in it.
Zombieland, the further tales of Tallahassee.
However you want to name it.
Oh, wait.
But
wait,
it could be
wait,
any
wait.
Super
long title. Super long title. Zombieland, Tallahassee's Journey, or the Twinkie Factory.
Ooh,
Die Harder.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance. No, it's
with
the third
a black part. Partner.
Dude. But no, any
well,
script.
In zombies, it's just...
It's always the sequels are always better with a black partner. Die Hard taught us that.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a Bruce Willis
third,
movie, you need
well,
a black
you're
partner.
Right. Second Die Hard, you know, had...
had the black guy in the coat.
Actually, all
guy's,
three of them
guy
had...
From Family Matters?
Well, no, it was in the first...
That was
the
first
he
one.
Was, he, well, he called him in the second one.
Yeah.
He called him in the second one, but his... In the... At the yeah.
And
I don't think
Carl Winslow?
Yeah.
No.
But in the second Die Hard movie, not to go even further away from what we're talking about,
it
was a sequel, so
it's
technically,
fine.
Yeah.
We are right.
He did
there.
Have a black partner, the guy who worked at the airport.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
yeah,
the traffic control guy.
Yeah,
but right. The best one out of the three had the best black partner.
Oh, Sam
Jackson.
Zeus.
Zeus. Jesus. No, no, no.
Hey,
Zeus.
Hey, Zeus. Yeah.
That was awesome. But yeah, so like in terms of what you would want to do, doesn't really matter. It just has to have the same kind of feel. Just needs to have Tallahassee in it. You can set up another celebrity cameo since that would be kind of like, I think that could be, you know, a
who'd you
running
choose?
Theme. Oh.
Who's epic to follow up
Bill Murray. Though, like, no one.
But you can, like, you can go back people who would be, like, really, really fucking cool. Like, you could have a Eddie Murphy cameo. You could have, like, Steve Martin, someone in that vein. Like
Dan Aykroyd.
Just do all the Ghostbusters.
No, do, like, a Van Damme person. Like, someone who they wouldn't think was, like... Cause, like
action star?
Yeah, because, like, Van Damme has that Welcome to the Jungle movie coming out, you know? Yeah.
They run across the Expendables. As they were filming it, zombie Expendables.
Oh, Jesus. Holy shit!
And they're like,
dude.
and they're like
it's in like real life trying to take out zombies.
Yeah.
Oh, crossover theater.
Yeah.
they're filming the very first ever reality movie.
but no, even if you don't go that, you could very easily do any type of cameo, just a good, you know, comedian,
solid comedian, yeah.
Or even action star, just somebody that'll have some comedy chops, a surprise one.
Terry Crews.
No, yeah, it had to be a huge name. Like Bill Murray is like
a gigantic
epic
name,
dude.
Yeah.
Like he's up on a pedestal. Or you can go the complete opposite and do somebody like, I think it'd be awesome to see a Clint Eastwood cameo set and let him
Dirty Harry it up.
Yeah, and be funny at the same
like
time.
It's like on some plantation.
But you could
Taj almost left.
No, think about it. It's like he's on like this giant plantation with all these zombies roaming around. He's just like taking pot shots with his like his big old lip full of chew and like a cigar or whatever. It'd be amazing.
But he can't hit it with a handgun, so he has to get a shotgun out.
Yeah,
he's old as shit now.
Yeah,
man, that's a little homage to
Unforgiven, which is one of my favorite Clint Eastwood movies of all time.
Amazing though, just like because he owns like he owns one of them big ass fucking houses back east. It's like.
But yeah, but the movie would lend itself so easily because you just have to keep the spirit, keep a cool celebrity cameo, and you could really work it into any situation. Like, because the first Zombie Land, not a real whole lot to the
search
story.
For Twinkie. Or maybe exactly. He's moved on to like the Host of Spy or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, he had his Twinkie at the end of one. Maybe he wants something savory now.
Pork pie.
Yeah. Or, what was that? That sandwich that we had today.
From, pig dip?
Yeah, the pig dip. It's the best sandwich in the world, by the way.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You could reach out to bacon. Us. We will give you information on it. Mm-hmm. This is not a sponsor, so we won't say it on air.
Nope, but we will post
we will,
it wherever you want us to.
We could gladly let you know where we went, because it was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, I didn't get to go fucking.
Taj was working. Weird.
And we chose to go there still.
That was my normal. First one. Joe, your first one?
Joseph.
My first one, the A-Team.
Do the song. Dun dun dun.
Stop. That's a little too far. We might be going into.
Yeah, we don't want
to. I actually have to sit next to this.
Okay.
So go ahead with your selection. A team.
No, I think, and I say this, and very rarely does a film come along that was originally a movie, and then you get a group of actors together that so fit the roles that they are in. Bradley Cooper, Liam Neeson, Quentin
Copley.
Jackson, and Charlton Copley. Just absolutely amazing.
I was totally okay with Rampage Jackson as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
just
definitely.
Awesome.
Nothing wrong with him as B.A. Baracus.
I'm not gonna lie, I was worried about it when they first like showed like pictures of him in like trailers. I was like, I don't know. Like I liked Quentin Rampage. Like as a fight, like an MMA fighter,
yeah, but you didn't
like
think he had
acting
chops or anything.
There's
like that.
No way
like,
he can like live up to like Mr. T.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not like Mr. T was the greatest actor in the world, but Mr. T was Mr. T.
The best part is whoever wrote that, which is by the funny if you don't know who wrote it, the main bad guy, not the dude from the CIA, but the main Black Ops guy from the Blackgate. No, not Blackgate.
No.
Whatever it's called, the other team. Yeah. That's the writer.
That's Arkham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Nice. But I like the way they wrote the Mr. T character, you know, B.A. Baracus.
Well, he was playing B.A. They did a good job of having Rampage play B.A. and not play
Mr. T. That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, but they wrote it in a way where he wasn't biting off of, you know, they didn't play him as Mr. T, but they didn't play off of that version of B.A. Baracus. They gave him his own B.A. Baracus to be. So
right, but
was
it wasn't
cool.
So far away. Cause,
yeah, it still had the core elements, you know, afraid of flying. They gave him the reason why, which is pretty fucking amazing.
Death
fucking
spike,
terrible.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, which is, so by that guy, that is the writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's something that, the first movie obviously addressed what they don't, if I recall right, obviously it could be corrected, they don't address it in the TV show, how they became wanted fugitives. I mean, I know that they
They talk about it, but they talk around it, really.
So you obviously you've established this now as this is how they became fugitives, and now I would love to see a TV series from this, but unfortunately you wouldn't be able to get the actors. I mean, together, which has
Quinton's
such good
not doing much right now, so he could.
Yeah, but I don't think he's fighting fucking
some minor league fucking fight league. Yeah,
I don't know why, but yeah, he's in the minor league.
Because he fucking mouthed off to Dana White.
Are we surprised by that?
He started Battle Dome. That's what he's doing.
Google it. Just got the worst feeling in the pit of my stomach ever.
That's normal with Mike.
Oh, God.
But no, obviously you'd have to keep the actors would have to do a movie, so I would like to. So you wouldn't be able to do like the smaller theme stuff, but you'd have to do
another
bigger,
big story to center around.
I wouldn't even be opposed. You guys mentioned doing a TV show off of it. I wouldn't be opposed to them recasting, obviously, because you're not gonna get all those
Bradley Cooper's a legit A-lister.
Liam Neeson's
a gigantic A-lister.
Charlize Copley's a hell of an actor. He doesn't do a whole lot, but when
he does it well.
Crazy ass motherfucker.
Yeah, and you could recast it as a TV show. I think that'd be cool too, and get the same spirit.
I don't know. With the way those guys portrayed those characters, really, I think I'm not saying it's impossible, but I wonder whether or not they'd be able to find a cast of individuals that would be able to embody those characters the way that gentlemen did.
It'd be a tough sell, but you could maybe do it.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
We'll cast it. We'll think about it, and we'll come back on a future podcast, and we'll cast out that.
Dreamcasting.
Yeah.
That was another one. So what would be yours, Cody?
I'll have to change my first one.
I'll cry about it.
Because someone stole it like he normally does.
What, is it because I'm black?
I did not say that. You said that. So
but you were thinking it. Right.
No.
Because
you're
racist, Taj.
You're a thief. Thank you. That's why I said it. You're a thief.
Fuck off.
Why you already did? So my first choice now will be Beetlejuice 2. I love the first one. It is fantastic. I believe they are still trying to work on a sequel for it. What the problem with it right now is the people who are making it, Tim Burton and Seth Graham Smith, have run into some stumbling blocks because every time they make a movie, it kind of doesn't do well. So Tim Burton has faltered at the box office lately. I mean, you have Alice in Wonderland didn't do as well as Disney wanted it to, mainly because it was not the movie Disney thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know why they thought it would be anything more than Tim Burton
like, doing something dark.
If you would have told me Tim Burton, Alice in Wonderland, I would have expected what I saw in theaters because that's Tim Burton. But I don't know what Disney was thinking. The only really one did well was the animated one, which is Frank and Weenie. But then they came to Seth Graham Smith and Tim Burton came together and did Dark Shadows, which I loved. I thought it was hilarious.
I enjoyed.
The problem with it is it's not what people thought it was going to be, because if you ever remember the TV show that's based on, it was essentially a soap opera with vampires. It wasn't really funny.
That's right. That's what that was. Yeah.
So like they took it in a different way and like they made it. It's very Tim Burton-ish. It's like it's set on like real sound stages.
Cast
and
is really good.
Cast is huge, like very huge solid. Big people in that fucking movie. I mean, everyone you normally would see in a Tim Burton movie definitely shows back up in it. The problem is it didn't hit the mark where it needed to, and I think the problem is because they set it in the 70s. They would have set it more modern time. I think it would have been good.
But I like that part of it as well.
Yeah, because the jokes were done well for that time
period.
But the problem is then you have to run into the thing where people don't understand a lot of the jokes. Like, the older folks got it.
Yeah.
And but the older folks weren't watching it.
Exactly. You put Johnny Depp in something, the old folks don't flock to the theater most of the time.
All right.
I know.
You're right.
Except for Transcendence, I'm sure that's going to work out. Yeah. Take that, Johnny Depp. You and your millions of dollars and your French home and supermodel wife.
And your dumb bracelets.
Yeah. Anyways, so I would love to see a sequel to Beetlejuice. The first one, it still is amazing. I believe to this day, I usually watch it again once a year. It's always on, or I own it so I can watch it whenever I want. So I think it's fantastic. Plus, just the world of Beetlejuice alone, plus seeing Michael Keaton fucking crazy ass Beetlejuice again would be
so awesome.
Greatest line from that movie? Go.
The one that comes to mind to me is where he's got the candy bar And he pops up underneath the...
Here, buggy, buggy.
Here, buggy, buggy, buggy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mike, go.
Come for your daughter, Chuck.
That's a good one, too. Taj?
Nothing off the top of my head.
Best one. So they go to the model set for the first time, and they talk to him, you know, and he's, like, doing the whole thing. He's like, we chopped the same place, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's always trying to look up Gina Davis's skirt. And they leave, and he goes, he runs up the top of the hill, and there's the fucking tree, and he goes, he kicks over, goes, nice fucking model. It's fucking fantastic. And it's, like, the only F-bomb they drop in the movie, but it's so out of place. It's so fantastic. But it's, like, one of my favorite lines ever. And someone posted a meme of that the other day, like, online. Fucking lost it, dude. I was like, oh, it was amazing. I love the movie. So I wish they would do a sequel because there's so much more.
And Keaton, I mean, he's been doing more stuff lately than he had been in the past.
Which is good. And I loved him. Absolutely loved him and the other guys.
Yeah, oh, that's what I was going to say. Yep. Dude, his
speaking of TLC again.
Are you really quoting TLC? No, don't I have no clue what you're talking about.
No idea what's going
on. But no, he showed he still got that comedic timing.
He's got
really
chops.
Good. And, yeah. Oh, man, you just let him let loose. Because, like, remember Beetlejuice... I didn't remember this. I went back and rewatched it recently for the first time in a long, long time. Beetlejuice is not actually in that movie very much at all.
No. But when he's like, in this movie,
but that's why it's
steals
so
that
special.
Shit.
It is like he every scene he just nails it. And so yeah, absolutely would be great to see because you know the age thing won't matter. He's gonna be all made up anyway. He still sounds the same.
You bring him back, Gina Davis, Alyssa Milano, and the guy whoever.
Alyssa Milano was in that movie.
Was it? Oh, sorry, not Alyssa Milano.
I don't remember
any. Winona Ryder?
Oh, there we go. Another dark-haired girl from that era.
The problem with bringing back Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin is they're dead, so they shouldn't age. And now, I don't know if you've seen Alec Baldwin lately.
It's just a little bit bigger.
Bigger.
But he looks wonderful.
He looks like a chubbier version.
He looks like another Baldwin brother we can't mention.
He looks like he swallowed a Baldwin brother.
True.
But Baldwin's hilarious, too, when he wants.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him on 30 Rock.
Jesus Christ. He's perfect on that fucking
I don't
show.
Care about the age thing. They could just oversight that. I just want to see Alec Baldwin and Beetlejuice yell at each other.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be great. I think it'd be fantastic. That's my first choice. I would love to see that. So Seth Graham Smith and Tim Burton getting on top of that shit, yo.
Yo.
Word.
Yo. Oh, and Seth, go ahead and write another book like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I'll buy that from you. Yep. All right. Taj.
I've been kind of trying to decide whether or not I would say, you know, probably my favorite new comedy or my favorite animated movie for a sequel, but I'm probably going to go with I would love to see a second Super Troopers because
we were looking at Twitter. And something it was like a picture of it, and like we're like, oh, they're actually planning on doing it. Like they're writing it. I don't know how far they're into it, but like, cause like,
but I feel like I've been hearing that for
a while.
Years now,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So fucking funny.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Brooklyn Lizard has done a few other movies, and they haven't been nearly as good.
Yeah, but they're
box
still
office wise,
good.
But they're good. I'm not saying they're bad, but Super Troopers was just hilarious. Every part of that movie just cracks me the fuck up, and that. Alone, just that group of characters. I mean, they're a troop in a sense, and
literally a troop.
And them coming together, I think, is just a wonderful thing. I think you know, just the characters themselves and Farva, who was like the dark horse funny motherfucker in that movie, was wonderful. I just love to see them go at it again.
Last name, common spelling.
But I want a large Farva.
Team Ramrod.
Did you ever see the special features on it where they showed the bus scene?
No.
So they show the bus scene where he gets beat up by the kids.
Yeah.
And I think on the DVD or Blu-ray release, they put it in the credits.
Yeah.
But so when you see it, like you basically see him pull over the bus
and just
tell the kids. And he goes on, and you see commotion. And all of a sudden, the back door opens, and he flies out and lands on his fat ass. Oh, my God. Dude,
there's one. That's one thing, by the way, that I could do without seeing again.
Oh, the naked scene?
Fucking
powdered sugar, sir.
Delicious. Yep. But the other funny scene about that from the making of, if you're watching on there, is the scene with the shaving cream in the locker.
Yes.
So
just fucking filled.
Well, no. The thing was, the fucked up part is that was menthol shaving cream because they didn't have enough.
Burn the fuck out of you.
So yeah. So and if you watch the movie, the scene they did is like the third or fourth like take. and they kept fucking putting more and more on him, and he literally could not handle anymore, so they used the final one. But you could see this, the anguish in his eyes was so bad, because he was like, fucking want to get rid of this so much. Like, just do this scene. And the fucked up part is they kept messing their lines up, so they'd have to redo it just to fuck with him. Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Those guys are great. Absolutely hilarious.
But, the sequel to it would be great, but if a lot of people, I mean, you have Beer Fest, which was, obviously, it wasn't Super Troopers, but I still love it because it's the same couple guys. And the other one that gets really no love, well, I mean, you can go back
Club
to
Dread.
Club Dread. But what I was saying is the Slam and Salmon. I thought was amazingly hilarious, and nobody seemed, I think it went straight to DVD,
it
right?
did go like straight it, to DVD.
It was, yeah, in, it was like limited release theaters and stuff like that.
I thought that was hilarious.
It was very funny.
I thought it was a better version of Waiting, kind of.
Yep.
And
the first Waiting.
Yeah. Is there a second one?
Yeah, there's a second Waiting. It's called Still Waiting.
There's one guy that carries over, I think, right? The dude that can't take a piss in the first one.
Yeah, he owns a different restaurant now that's basically Hooters.
Yeah.
So if you love Super Troopers and you haven't seen Slammin' Salmon, or I'm sure you've seen Beer Fest because that was more widely available, but definitely go find Slammin' Salmon because that's fantastic as well.
You're up, Mike.
Michael. All
right. I had another one in mind, but as we were talking, we got on to Michael Keaton, and I thought of other guys. And then I thought, I don't want a sequel to Other Guys, though I would watch it.
He wants a sequel to Jack Frost.
I want a prequel.
Yep.
Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, of how they became that super group of stupid motherfucking cops.
I'm sold.
I'll watch that right now. Amazing, because you could still have Will Ferrell in it in smaller scenes. You could still have Mark Wahlberg in smaller scenes. Obviously, they're not partners yet, but they're still funny.
Michael Keaton, Wayne Jr.?
Yeah, Wayne's Jr., Rob Riggle can all play a bigger part in it. You can get Michael Keaton to play a little bit more.
One thing I want to see, though, or see or hear, another Whisper fight. It's the funniest fucking part.
Yeah.
Because... What are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, they start wrestling, but they're still quiet. Oh my god!
That was at the funeral or the wake.
Yeah. The wake, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that's got to be. I don't know why I didn't think about it when we were initially going over these, but that is all gold right there, because Sam Jackson and The Rock just
that
doing dumb
shit,
crazy action scenes.
Aim
for the bushes.
Hey, Mike, you think what I'm thinking?
Aim for the bushes.
Yeah. Then they jump.
But
the closest bushes are like 15 across feet away.
Ice-T even there was it. He's like, there wasn't even bushes around anything. That shit was crazy.
I thought the bushes were on the other side of the street.
You see them, like, there's bushes, but they're like a foot wide, and they're like 15 feet from where they were going to land. Even if they had the best jump ever, they're not going to even fucking touch a bush.
Oh, God.
I mean, they might have spidered on a bush when they hit, but they definitely were. Just that fucking opening scene when they drive through the fucking bus.
See, that's what the first movie, the prequel could be all about. Just crazy dumb action and them being dumb and thinking they're awesome.
And it literally could lead up right up to that scene.
Yeah. The movie could end there, yeah.
It could end at the
jump.
Aim for the bushes.
then they jump, credits roll.
Yeah.
And the bonus scene would just be like people going, where did they come from? All right, so The Rock, I know you're listening because you're a huge fan. Go ahead and send the word to Samuel L. Jackson.
He's not going to say no.
Samuel L. Jackson says yes to anything.
Yeah.
We all know that. Snakes on a plane. So that's just how it is. Black snake bone. So Michael, good choice. Very good, sir. Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope.
Perfect.
Just
perfect
make the movie. Let's get this shit done.
Let's do it. Chop, chop, chop. All right. That's a super inside joke.
Yeah.
Email us.
Whatever.
Yeah, we can explain it to you.
We'll still ignore you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sure. Joseph, your second choice.
My second choice is the Punisher, the Thomas Jane's Punisher.
Dirty Laundry would be the sequel.
Dirty Laundry would be the sequel, which he's already kind of made.
The short film that bridges the two together.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have a lot of love for the original Punisher, even though I didn't really care for John Travolta and his wife, and basically all of the villains in that movie, I didn't care for. They were just really weird and really out there.
Disjointed, I think, is a good word.
Yeah,
I like the Russian.
But right, the Russian could have been better. But literally one Super scene, shiny. And that was it. And they, you know,
dude, sorry.
He jumps up from the bottom of the stairwell. You just see
just a big hand come out of nowhere.
Except his head's the fuck on backwards.
Thomas Jane is like, it's the Super Russian.
But if you haven't seen the short film
Dirty Laundry,
go YouTube out. It's on YouTube. Go out and see it. It actually stars Thomas Jane and Ron Perlman. It's super amazing. It's just so casual about how it goes about and the violence that that's in it. Dude, fuck some people up with a Jack Daniel's bottle.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's purely Punisher, and I think Thomas Jane, you know, really kind of understands the character, at least from what he said and in the short film that he did. So we carry him over, and then I, you know, to be honest, I don't really even need to see like a big villain in the sequel. Really, I just need to see him going after mob bosses and stuff. Really, what I want to see is the Dark Knight with the Punisher and violence.
You want him fighting the Joker?
You want him fighting Batman?
But no, I mean, no villains, no super villains in it. Oh. The mobsters is what I want to see.
Oh, Spawn? You want Spawn in it?
Really? Oh, well, yeah.
The actor who played Spawn.
Yeah, Spawn.
He's Spawn. Black Dynamite.
Or Michael.
Black Dynamite, definitely. Michael Dynamite.
Yeah. But it wasn't to say is. The villain they could use, which is one of my favorites from the one of the comic book series they did, the Punisher Max, which is sitting behind me on my bookshelf.
The beginning, that one.
They're great. But the villain in it, his name is Barracuda. He was so amazing in that series. Once they killed him off, they gave him his own miniseries, which I think is behind me too.
Probably it's in that
somewhere in this somewhere. Mess. There's a lot of shit back yeah, there. So I think that would be an awesome because he's basically the anti. Punisher, like he's
super nice and
he's like psychotic.
He's super nice. He's
laying down his jacket for old ladies across the street and puddles and all.
So he's basically if the Punisher did what the Punisher does, but for money,
okay.
Versus just for itself.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think that would be an amazing character. Plus, I'd want to see him in live, like on screen, because he's fucking insane. Like if you don't ever look, Google Punisher Max. And then type in Barracuda, you'll see him. Big black guy with a grill, and it says Barracuda. He's been
in his teeth. Spawn plan.
Well, you know, well, yes. Well, he's actually bigger than that. But he's actually kind of like fat in a way. But when you see his teeth, just, oh, it's fantastic. I'll show the guys here.
I'd be fine with that because I really haven't seen that character, even though I love the Punisher. I haven't seen that character yet.
It's fucking fantastic.
As long as they don't play him too.
What about Terry Crews? Sorry to cut you off.
No.
Yeah, Terry Crews can do it. He's a crazy motherfucker from fucking Gamer.
Yeah, give him the Gamer mentality.
If you guys haven't seen Gamer, first off, fantastic.
Please do.
And that'd be awesome, as long as they don't play him too goofy. And that's the problem that I think even the second Punisher, the reboot with, I can't remember his name.
Ray Stevenson,
who again was an awesome Punisher.
Yep.
But they pair him up with just a really weird and psycho villain, Jigsaw.
And Newman from Seinfeld.
His buddy's Newman from Seinfeld. Like, yeah.
That's nobody's buddy. Kramer's
Wayne Knight, right? Wayne Knight, yeah.
Yeah. So what would be yours next one, Cody?
So I was thinking, because I had to think of another one because someone stole it from me.
Jesus.
But the one that comes to mind so there's a few running through the different ones. I thought of back like a bunch back, like some of the movies. Like earlier today we were talking about like a Princess Bride sequel type thing where you could like focus on Dread Pirate Roberts, something like that. Not my choice. I'm just saying that's like that got me thinking.
I'd watch it.
I would too, for sure.
Bring back Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Okay. Pet Cemetery.
Yes.
Anybody want brain?
You cast the big show.
Do you think he was? You think he was hard to understand when he was alive? Imagine zombie, that shit dead. Oh my god, dude! No way.
Awesome.
I was thinking back to a bunch of different ones, and I kept thinking like what movies needed a sequel. And I really do think that, and Mike's going to agree with me on this one, I think they need a proper fourth Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes. Yep.
And what you'd do is you'd make him, like either retired or, like, in charge. I don't know why anyone would put him in charge of anything. But, like, it'd be cool.
Because he gets results.
Of course. But bring it, so, like, because I'm pretty sure all those actors are still alive.
Oh, yeah.
But you could bring it back and like you could tie them all together. Like, I know they were trying to do it in a TV show, which sounded fucking awful from the get go. Because why?
Well, they were going to make a younger cast.
They were going to make him younger. It's like before he was Beverly Hills Cop. And I was like,
I thought, if I he doesn't was playing like his nephew or something. Or
yeah, some weird. Like it was going to be dumb.
It was going to have, if I remember right, Brandon T. Jackson.
Which would be good.
Would be cool because he's great in a lot of things. But like, why not just make.
Axel Foley be Axel Foley.
And you could have him have a partner. You could have him mentoring a Brandon Jackson, but it doesn't have to be his son. Like that always seems like how
that's
they go.
Just the jump to
forced.
Yep. Yeah. They're like, oh, sequel? We'll give him a kid. It's like, no, give him a kid, man.
Because that's always good for, you know, on TV shows when they give him a baby, Roseanne. But I think it would be cool because like you could bring back like Judge Reinhold and like all them. Like, it would be fun to like see him as older, like being retired and having me come back to do something with it. You know, Bronson Pinchot would come back. It'd be fucking awesome because he's definitely not doing anything right now.
No.
But you could even introduce like a newer, like a younger type cop. Like maybe he's in trouble and they have to save him, whatever happens to be. But
like Chris Rock and Lethal Weapon, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Buddies. Yep. We actually talked about that earlier.
Yeah, we did.
We won't get into that conversation. Nope. That took odd turns.
Yeah. But the other one that I was thinking of, not to, you know, jump ahead, in that same thought process. Well, I mean, Beverly Hills Cop 4 obviously would be my choice. But I was thinking about so many other movies you could do, like sequels to Pluto Nash, to... I'm just kidding. So that's it for me. I don't know if anyone else had anything to add on top of it, but that would be my choice.
Another never ending story?
No. Yeah, I didn't really do
that
so well.
That story it truly never fucking ends.
Yeah.
Hence it goes on and on, my friends.
Such big, strong hands.
Yeah. Rockbiter? Gross. Great character.
Rockbiter sounds like a euphemism for something.
So you're saying it should have been a female?
Or a very light talking man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
How about on a more serious note, another Watchmen where it's just more Dr. Manhattan off
naked,
wherever doing whatever around, he did when he
decided
to leave.
Blue Dong throughout the galaxy.
You get John Hamm to play him.
He did
you
wear.
Have to paint him blue.
So everyone,
he did wear a steel cop piece,
the,
you know,
the
for
only,
you know, a couple
the
scenes.
Only theaters that could fit John Hamm as Doc Manhattan.
IMAX.
Oh, in 3D.
Yep. Just, you're dodging giant blue dong the entire time.
Everybody's
that's,
left
that's,
and right.
That's
it's
the
like
Captain
a. It's like
Neo
a.
Michael Jackson wanted
then,
to make.
But then, but then you'd have to outfit the IMAX theaters with those motion seats.
Oh
the.
So you swing the way out of the
home. Yeah. And they make you jump out of the way.
Or whatever ones.
Yeah. Jump out of the way of the fucking blue dong. Oh, it'd be fantastic.
No, but yeah, I loved Watchmen, so I would.
I think Watchmen's good, but.
They
I
could
mean,
follow the before
Watchmen.
Watchmen.
It would be like, it's more
true.
Of a prequel, though. Mm-hmm. Like the it because I don't know if the comic books they came out with later, which I thought were fucking terrific and had great writers behind a lot of them. Art was great in them too, but they're basically the story of the Minutemen before the Watchmen story happens, like before that particular portion of it. So they were still like in Vietnam and things like that.
Right.
Kane was alive and do that, but and they had a bunch of individual stories. They did have one book that was about the Minutemen. And it had current Night Owl, so Night Owl 1 versus Night Owl 2 in it. But you could definitely do that if you wanted to. It'd be pretty cool. But I think it'd be fucking amazing as a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it would have some serious legs because there's so much storyline you could go off and go with there.
Yeah.
And you could even jump, you know, eras with that easily.
Yep, back and forth would be super awesome.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good one. We also have another one I want to throw in there.
Yeah, actually, I'll go back real quick and we'll just hit on it briefly because we have a little bit of time left.
Yeah, we do.
And you brought up Watchmen, which ties into this. I want to see a sequel.
My Little Ponies.
He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, let's see.
No,
you want a Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah,
sequel.
Why
no,
not?
I
He's only doing one movie now.
Yeah, let's go back to Mike's idea because these are getting worse and fucking worse.
I want to see a sequel to Jackie Earle Haley's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah.
For sure.
I thought that was amazing, and I don't really know how it did box office-wise or even critically.
It actually did better than most horror movies did, but the problem was people were like, it's not like the original. It's like
they he added so many of his own little things.
Nuances, it was worthwhile.
Like, Robert Englund can't play the character forever. I mean, he's too old to do it now. Like, yeah. You're not going to buy it anymore.
Put a lot of makeup on him.
And then there's...
Sure.
Yeah. Or not that much.
Make his skin look better.
But you do a lot of things with it. You don't have to follow... Because what happened with the original Nightmare on Elm Street, they turned into a comedy franchise almost towards the end. And it still had its creepy parts and its gory parts, but it was more funny than
silly,
anything towards the end. Jackie Earle Haley, though, I think he did a great job. It was real
creepy.
It was creepy. It was
fucking terrifying.
Yeah, the creepiest thing when he would
shuffle the knives.
The two fingers. He'd go back and forth so you can hear the knives clinging off of each other.
Yeah, oh, God,
as he was walking down. And then he paid homage to England because he knew the dragon's nails.
Yep.
And he'd say, I mean, a couple of the lines I think were right from the original, too.
That
some
fucking
of the
song,
ones.
Though, dude.
Yeah,
and you
dude.
See the little
kids. Little kids in the jump rope.
Oh, yeah.
One, two. Oh, God. So creepy.
But, yeah, that would be awesome. And then like, today, we don't get a lot of good scary movies. I mean, it's just not something that's done, you know, well anymore.
And they keep giving sequels the shitty remakes these ones. Like, I actually liked the first remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jessica Biel. And I thought that one was fucking awesome. They needed Toby, though. I don't know if you guys ever watched the original one, the one from the 70s. Toby was the handicapped kid in the wheelchair. That was just fucked up to do, I thought, back then. And I thought they needed that kind of, like, fucked upness. But I think my favorite part about that one... Yeah, it is now. Look it up in the
I'll call Merriam Webster.
Yeah, it's fine. Go tell him to give you the Cody version.
Yeah,
not the Mike version. That shit's fucked up.
Yeah,
Mike.
What day is it? So we've been saying that all fucking day today.
All day.
The part that I thought in the remake with Jessica Alba Jessica Biel was fucked up was when he wore her boyfriend's face before he was wearing like the leather face mask. He cut his face off and he fucking put it on. It's all stretched out so his fucking eyes weren't even. Oh my God, it was so fucking creepy. Of course, then there's the basement, which is covered in fucking blood. She's hiding under the table, and her friend's on the strapped to the table, and she's trying to help him. Then she hides underneath, and she gets murdered on top of him. Oh, dude, and like the blood's running down on her face. I was like, fucked up your fingernails. I loved it. It was so good. But then they keep making they remade it again like a few years later, like a couple years ago, and then they made a sequel to that, and it was fucking awful.
How many times have they remade Carrie now?
It's technically twice, the TV show one and
how did the newest one do? I wanted to see it, but I never really got a hold of it.
It pulled a Psycho, where it was almost like shot for shot in a way,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't exactly like Psycho. Psycho was literally shot for shot.
I don't think that's
but they didn't. I think they didn't do enough to make it stand out. The special effects though were pretty fucking legit, especially when she's like fucking her house up and stuff, where she's like the cupboards are fucking slamming and doors are fucking denting and shit. That was pretty awesome. But I think what they did is they tried to make it too modern with like the way the kids acted and stuff. The one thing they fucking completely skipped over is the fact that every little fucking kid nowadays has a goddamn cell phone or something, and she never fucking once used those to like fucking electrocute somebody or shatter glass in her face or something like that.
Because
I could see a fucking cell phone explode in someone's hand and fucking glass shrapnel right in their fucking face and it's amazing, but that's me. They did the whole thing with the silverware. It was pretty fucking cool, where silver sticking the walls and shit like that. So, little details. They didn't focus on like on the original. They did the original one, but I think that'd been awesome myself. But yes, I agree with you, sir. Joseph, you
speaking of horror movies, I'm thinking of Cabin in the Woods. Not so much of it as a prequel or a sequel, but kind of like an offshoot. I mean, what if you saw some of the other disasters that were going on that were averted in the movie? Yeah, that'd be freaking awesome. See,
I kind of disagree because I think Cabin in the Woods is so perfect, dude, and so unique. And because when you first go in, I was kind of lucky, I guess. I saw a trailer for it, but I knew really nothing about Cabin in the Woods when we went to go.
Even if you saw the trailers, they didn't really give so
much.
I didn't like seek out more information about it, basically, because you could on basically every movie. So when I went in and the way it started, you kind of got this vibe with the two guys talking. You're like, there's something, you know, very different about this. And then it turns into your standard, you know,
horror
kids
movie
in
type
trouble
of
partying in the woods, scary movie, which you've seen 100 times. And then, bam, great left turn one of the coolest twists in any movie ever, and it holds up with any twist ever, especially if you don't know, and I won't say it, because, you know,
fucking spoilers.
Do it. Yeah.
You can do it. I'll do feel it. Guilty as shit.
I'll do it.
But yeah, you can pause it right now. You can pause this right now. Go watch it. Come back, finish this. Cody's going to summarize what just happened. Yep. And go.
So, so the way they did it is, so, you know, what the twist that I liked about, and it's not always the twist that most people think about, is the fact that none of it was real. I mean, it was real in the fact they were really dying, but they were, because there were sacrifices. But what I thought was clever is the way they did it. Is they manufactured the stereotypical kids from those movies. So, like, they took people, because in the beginning of the movie, you notice that, like, Thor's character, Chris Hemsworth's character, is actually smart, and he's using big words and stuff. And because they're drugging him to make him dumber, he becomes the dumb jock when they get to the cabin, yeah. Which I thought was the cool twist, because they manufactured him into being what is needed to fall in line.
Right, to make
the but
movie
then
go.
The thing that I would like to see as a sequel, but like kind of like an Elseworlds tale, instead of like seeing one of the other houses, like the Japanese one or whatever, like, you know, they could talk about the ones that succeeded and getting their sacrifices, would be one of what if, and they change the cast around and do a different one, because it's obviously the Cabin in the Woods would be the same. But I want to see some of the other deaths that you got to kind of see act out.
The
when
merman.
They went back. The
I've merman always wanted to see
back.
The merman.
But like, that sort of thing. Like, they mentioned all these different ones, like the fucking unicorn, which you yeah. fucking see, the impale a guy.
So
that stuff. I would love to see
actually
that.
Give the twist in case.
Oh, so the twist is, the whole thing is basically there's, which is the most fucking epic twist of all times, like Mike said. So the whole thing is these fucking kids are just sacrifices to appease the gods so they don't fucking destroy the earth. And it's the whole thing is being done by these lab technicians who are running these sacrifices like their tests, and then they gamble on it and things like that. But then so they go down, and all these movie monsters that you see, like Leatherface, and they make fun of Pinhead and things like that, are all in there, and they put them up in these elevators that like go up, and they release them in these controlled environments to make these sacrifices, and they do it as entertainment for just themselves. Because you don't say that it's not broadcast anywhere. You know, people aren't like that. It's literally just this group of people in the United States and in Japan and all these different places that are fucking just, their job is to
themselves.
Manufacture these sacrifices happening. But do you see it from their aspect of entertainment? So they're watching like a TV show and they start betting on it. But then when you get to the end and you're like, there's no fucking way. It's really a sacrifice to the gods, right? What happens? They don't fucking get the sacrifice. Giant fucking hand comes out of the ground, smashes, and the fucking world goes to shit. I was like, How the
and
fuck
it was
amazing
great.
Is that?
My favorite scene is when they shoot down into basically what is the storage unit for all the monsters, and you see just every monster a slight variation, so it's not the monster,
right,
but
so it's not
every
the
monster
rip.
You ever thought, a Swamp Thing, a Pinhead, like a Freddy Krueger type, a Michael Myers type, a Leatherface type.
The fog, you have a fog.
Yeah,
that takes over.
It's literally just fog in this glass case, and you're like, oh, that's
giant man bats.
There's a blob. Yeah,
there's a blob.
Yeah. There's, yeah,
the fucking
it's
demons.
So great.
Yeah. Little crazy ballerina with just the fucking teeth face.
Oh, that thing? Yeah.
Oh, dude, have you seen it, Taj?
No, I haven't.
It's
well,
an amazing movie.
It's fucking amazing.
No,
I'll let you borrow it. I
it's all right.
It's fantastic.
Shame on you for not seeing it yet.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Shit but happens. Just the, and then the my favorite part about that whole movie, not to go on a complete fucking rant about this movie, but the it's pretty violent when the teenagers are getting killed. The ridiculous shit, like Chris Hemsworth being fucking retarded now, just jumps the dirt bike off of no ramp, no nothing, tries to jump this gorge of a road that's higher up than what he is, and then slams in this invisible wall that you don't see. And then they're like, what the fuck was that? Like, that shit goes crazy. But my favorite part, though, so they're all dying of horrific deaths. They think they finally kill him. They get in the elevator that Mike was talking about. They go down and see all these crazy monsters, and they fucking release them, and there's the fucking violence that happens.
Oh,
and that,
yeah.
And it's like, there's blood literally everywhere.
So they, when we say we release them, they release them, the storage units basically open up, and they're released on the building of the technicians that are running this whole thing and controlling everything. So everyone that's been betting on them this whole time, all the security staff for them, are just being overran by every different type of monster.
Murdered.
Oh,
oh
it's so
it's,
good.
And there's so it's so gratifying.
I agree with you now. Give me a sequel. I don't care that the twist is
already or even, out. Or even like Cody said, something you're just a different monster because they in the basement of the cabin they chose which monster they
so the way they set it up was cool because they go down there and you see these little bits of things that would
like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you choose your own fucking death way. I thought that was pretty cool, but I love that because of that aspect of it.
And we completely ruin it for.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
you didn't speak up. You didn't say, hey, I was not
concerned about
it. And just so you know, minority does not die first.
Second?
Third, I think.
There's no minority in it.
No, there's
the
light-skinned black guy that comes with him.
Oh, yeah.
He dies, they're trying to set up with the shy girl.
Or something like that, third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah, he's like third or fourth to go, I think.
But no, actually, he wasn't second to last because he was driving the RV.
There's only six of them, so.
Second to last, is what I'm saying.
Well, the two people didn't end up dying. He was second to the last to die of the sacrifice.
Because Chris Hemsworth goes jumping across the thing, and then they
crashes.
And then they both hop back into the RV, and they drive back.
Fantastic.
So do you have another one, Cody?
Pacific Rim 2.
Sorry.
That was on me.
It's sticky in me.
Yeah, that was on you for calling it.
Yep, that's your fault. That's what you get for doing it. No, I don't think I have really another one. I had one that escapes me now because I got all excited about Cabin in the Woods and the horror movies. And Mike's, man, it just surprises me that one comes up. I now want to do a favorite horror movie one, but we'll save them for another time.
We can do this again. There's plenty of movies that need this.
Absolutely. Yep, but we'll come back and visit it. So that was it for this episode. Let's do some business real quick. Michael, business.
And the business is we are still growing this thing. We are growing at a pretty surprisingly well paced, I think, right now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys downloading, listening. Like in our Facebook page, that's big. We need more likes on that. We need to grow that to kind of get the word out a little bit more. So please keep continuing to share. We get most of our downloads from iTunes right now. So if you are on iTunes listening to this, can you please rate us, review us? If you like it, go ahead and give us a positive review. It does nothing but basically help us get out to people that aren't really in our initial, you know, social group right now. And so, like I've been saying, if you have any questions for us, you could reach us, any comments, any suggestions. We are completely wide open to them because we are fine-tuning this thing. We're having fun doing it. We're trying to make it perfect. You can reach us at our Twitter. Our Twitter handle is?
@ComesNaturalPod.
Where's our Facebook page?
Facebook.com/ComesNaturalPodcast. Comes Naturally Podcast.
Yeah, so if you're on like, your Facebook app, just search for Comes Naturally Podcast. It should bring us up. We're about, I don't want to say exactly where we're at right now because we don't know where this is going. But we want to be over 100. Like, that's our first initial goal. And we will celebrate it very loudly on social
everywhere.
Media
yep.
as soon as we do. And we're really close to that as of right now. So please keep continuing to support us. We're growing. Please help us out with it. Tell a friend. Tell two friends. Tell people you don't like. Because it's just good stuff. Everyone should have this.
So Mike said, hit us up on Twitter. You can also email us at comesnaturallypodcast@gmail.com. We are on all social networks you can imagine. Facebook, I mentioned already. Google+. We're on Tumblr. It's everywhere. So please share it. Contact us. Let us know what you think. Send us, like Mike said, comments and questions and things like that. And then we will, try to respond to you as well as talk about it on the show at one point. So that's it for this episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
Cody. Our special guest today was
Taj.
All right. So that's it, guys. Thank you, and we will talk to you later.
Peace.
Bye.